Thanks, Tom. Good morning. Can I move this forward a little bit? Okay, so Alison, where's Alison? She gone? She's gone. Oh, she said I had to explain what Rhema meant, which threw me. Anyway, so quickly, Rhema just means what God is saying to you right now. A little bit like, you know, when you want to get a little kid's attention and, you know, and they're ignoring you and you kind of grab their face and look him into the eye and say something, you know, so they understand what you're saying, you know, like, don't poke your sister in the eye with a pencil or whatever it might be. So a Rhema word is what God is saying to you right now. And so I had an idea of what I was going to preach on today a few weeks ago. And then last week, God changed it. I looked at the preach and thought, what the heck's that about, you know? And then God spoke to me about something else. And then Stephen's word this morning, who has no idea what I'm preaching on, is exactly what I'm going to be preaching on, this idea of looking beyond and focusing on where we're going. And if you like, getting, you know, God's, the focus of Jesus in our life right now because of where we're going and where we're living now. And I'm going to speak to you about being born again. Simple message. And can you put that little scripture? It's not a scripture, actually. It's from the song, isn't it? Thou and thou only, the first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. And as we were singing that, I thought, yeah, that's it. That's everything, isn't it? That if we're totally focused on Jesus, he's everything in our heart. He's our high King of heaven. We are headed there. And when we're born again and our eternal life comes to us, our eternal life begins now. We pass through this death, whatever it is, and into heaven. And I want to talk to you about being born again. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 3. Okay, so John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So, wow, here we have this famous passage. I mean, there's loads of famous scriptures, isn't there? You know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, in the English language, there's loads of scriptures, loads of common scriptures. And, you know, lots of people know certain scriptures. You hear it quoted in films and, you know, conversations, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Something like, you know, old wives' tales, people would say, little phrases like that. There's loads of things in the Bible. When I first became a Christian 23 years ago, I started noticing, never read the Bible before, I'm reading through the Bible, I'm seeing all these phrases that are in the English language, and I start writing them all down. There's loads and loads of them, and eventually, a couple of years ago, I thought, I'll write a book and put all these in. And I thought, well, I better check no one's done that first. So I went on Amazon, and someone had literally published a book that year, you know, on it. So it was really annoying anyway. So there was no point in that anyway. But and there's loads of things we know and scriptures we know. And then this being born again, what is it to be born again? And people say, I'm a born again Christian. But the question is, well, what kind of other Christian is there? Because if you're not born again, you're not a Christian. Martin and I went to a church quite a few years ago now to preach. I was giving my testimony. Martin was preaching. It was a gospel service and he was going to preach on being born again. When we arrived, there was a couple there, probably in their early 50s, and they met us when we went in on the door. They were super friendly. They were really excited and smiling and happy. They looked like the happiest people, you know, really happy Christians. We went in and they sat near the front. They were so excited during the worship and they were singing the songs and waving their hands and so happy all the way through. And it's really nice to be encouraged, isn't it? And when Martin was preaching on being born again, at the end, he asked people to come forward if they wanted to be born again. And this couple came forward. And I thought, well, obviously, you know, they're enthusiastic Christians. Whatever they request for is to come forward. They're going to come forward and they're going to get blessed anyway. But they came forward and Martin called me over to preach to speak to them as well. And the bloke said, we're not born again. And we were like, really? He said, yeah. We said, we moved here from down south and we've come into this church and we didn't know anybody. We had no friends in the area and everybody was really friendly. And, we were quite lonely and everybody was nice. And the songs, we couldn't, because it was a fantastic building and a fantastic band, you know. And they were enthusiastic. They were involved in everything. And they were part of a food bank that the church was running. And they were in a small group and they were serving tea and coffee and everything. But no one had ever asked them if they were saved, if they were born again. And Martin had preached this message. And they said, we don't think we're born again. And we prayed for them. And they got proper blasted off the Holy Spirit. Anybody like that thought of that, being blasted off the Holy Spirit? This couple on the floor, totally changed. And one of the church leaders said to us after, kind of mockingly, you know, even the Christians are getting saved, but this couple were definitely not born again until that point. No point in being in church, doing the church thing, and missing the point, which is to be saved from our sin, to be saved out of hell, to have Jesus living with us, to have the Holy Spirit in us, and to go to heaven when we die, and to be focused on that and be happy about it. It's about crossing over from death to life, from being saved from hell and saved into heaven. Is to be free from sin. Not that we don't sin or we make mistakes, but it has no hold over us. There's no consequences of it in our lives if we're born again. I mean, there's consequences if you make a mistake, of course, but in terms of your salvation, it doesn't affect it. You are going to heaven if you're born again. A little bit like Stephen was saying, the end goal must always be in sight. Exactly like it was for Jesus. You read through his life, he's absolutely determined. You've got to remember, right, we read the story, don't we, knowing the end. It's like watching an awesome film with somebody who's never seen it before, and you know they're going to get really excited with it because you know the end. And when we read the life of Jesus, and you can sometimes kind of take it a little bit for granted, but reading through it, you see he's absolutely set like stone. He is going to the cross. He even says, doesn't he? He even says, I could call down heaven and thousands, tens of thousands of angels could rescue me now. And they would have done it if he'd asked them. But he was absolutely determined to go to the cross for you and for me. He's absolutely determined. Nothing's stopping him. And we should be the same. We should be absolutely focused on the end goal, heaven. Too many Christians look at life. They're looking at the life now and their whole character and demeanor and position in life and related to everything is totally consumed by what is happening now. And whatever your circumstances, that doesn't have to necessarily be the case. Bad things happen, things can impact us and affect us, but it isn't 100% of who we are and what is happening in our lives at that time. Because we have, you know, I can't remember, it's a quote from somebody else, you know, we've got one hand and one foot and one eye in heaven all the time. All the time. And that should be our focus, just like it was for Jesus. He was focused on the cross and we should be too, because it's our door into heaven. A friend of mine was, I say a friend, he was more of an acquaintance really, and I got on great with him until I got saved. And this guy was called Richard, he was an atheist. And he was like, you know, an angry, down-to-earth, working-class lunatic, probably the best way to describe him. And he used to swear at me and blaspheme all the time. If we were out with a group of friends, he used to love coming and sticking his nose on mine and just swearing at me. And he was just horrible. But, you know, in a crazy way, you probably know people like this, you know, they drive you around the bend and you hate them, but there's something about them that's likeable. Do you ever, or is that just me? Anyway, Richard was diagnosed with cancer. He'd had a really bad life. His parents had died when he was quite young. His first wife, his first marriage was a nightmare. When they separated, his wife told his kids loads of lies about him so that he was, you know, she attacked him, then called the police and said he'd attacked her, got a restraining order on him. He couldn't go near the kids. The only way he could see his children was to go to the school and look through the fence. And one day he went to the school and called out to his son, Adam. And his son looked at him and ran off because of the terrible things his wife had said about him. And then he was diagnosed with cancer. He got cancer of the liver and he was dying. And I went to see him in hospital. And he's a proper working class bloke from Teesside, you know, all macho, no physical contact. And I sat in his bed in the hospital and put my hand on his chest. And he was like shocked. He was a builder and he'd done our patio. And I said, Richard, I haven't come to talk to you about our patio, because I was always complaining about it being a bit wobbly. I said, I've come to talk to you about Jesus, because you're dying and you're going. So we need to talk about Jesus. And have I ever told you my testimony? No, I had, but he hadn't listened. So I told him how I'd come to faith in Jesus Christ, how I'd asked Jesus to come into my life. His wife was sitting there, his second wife. And I said, would you like to hear some more? And he said, yeah, I would. But when I went back, it was too late. The next time I seen him, he was in a coma and he died not long afterwards. But the interesting thing is about his life is, all the other guys that went to see him that weren't Christians were bigging up their visits to him. Yeah, we went to see Richard. We were encouraging him. I took all the photographs around from our holidays, showed him all the photographs of when we all went to Spain together, when we all went skiing together in France, showed him loads of photographs, talked about the good times. But it's like walking backwards towards a cliff edge and looking at the view. It's like, oh, look at those great hills and look at the forest, look at the streams, look at the birds. But there's a problem. You're about to step backwards off a cliff and plummet to your death. What a terrible focus. What we need to do is to be born again is turn away from our old life and turn and focus on the end. Because sometimes people think salvation is just salvation for now and living in a relationship with God. But it's an eternal relationship which takes its full meaning when we die and when Jesus comes back. It says in the Bible, doesn't it? Jesus is coming back to fulfill our salvation, to complete it. It's complete when we're with him. It's not complete yet at the moment until we're fully with him. That's what the Bible says. The focus should be on where we're going. My conversation with Richard was about where he was going. Not about his past life. It's where you go at the end. As Augustine, St. Augustine said, the length of your life and the quality of your life is not what's important. It's where you go at the end. You might have a long, awesome life, die without knowing Jesus. What a waste of a life. A wasted life. A wasted life, you know that. Or you might have a short and tragic life, die young and go straight into the arm of Jesus. Totally, totally worth it. Not a wasted life. Not a wasted life at all. It says in Philippians that, you know, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh yeah, every knee will bow. Those that know him and those that don't. Someone was saying to me the other day, every knee will bow, but it's how you bend that knee. Do you bend that knee out of reverence and yes, hallelujah, Jesus? Or do you fall on your knees in terror and go, Jesus, I didn't realise. When I was in the army, I was attached to the SAS. Sounds fantastic, but you know, I just made the tea and operated the radio and told people where they were going and which door to kick in and which people to shoot and stuff like that. You know, nothing too exciting. And when I was in Northern Ireland, we were doing some undercover work there, mostly under the duvet cover, nothing, you know, dangerous. And what was going to happen this night was every time the SAS were called in, it was to do something really horrible, okay? It was usually to kill people and or to be in situations that were going to be so dangerous they needed the most highly trained people. And what was going to happen was these two SAS soldiers were going to go join some Royal Ulster Constabulary police officers and go on a patrol with them. And, you know, on their normal patrol, and then part of the patrol, they were going to like jump out and hide in this place to catch some terrorists. And my job was to go to the gate and get these two police officers. So I go to the gate of this big camp in Belfast. It's in Hollywood Barracks, it's called. And I waited by the gate, and all that these police officers were told was that I had to come to these barracks for some reason. So they turn up, they don't know why they're there. I meet them at the gate. I'm in plain clothes. I've got long hair. This is 1980, I think. So I've got long hair and I'm in plain clothes. And they obviously think, a bit random. He doesn't look like a normal soldier. So I got in the Land Rover, took them to our camp. Now, our camp was inside this camp, this other camp. You know, 30-foot high corrugated fences, you could go in. As we go through the gates open, we go in. There's loads of people long hair in plain clothes and stuff. And these two police officers are saying nothing, right? They haven't said a word to me, right? Because they don't know who the heck I am. They know I'm in the army, but they know, you know, I've got long hair in plain clothes. I'm obviously not a normal soldier. We get into this place. I can see they look a little bit anxious. We start walking up the stairs. We go into the place. And then I take him into the operations room. Just inside the operations room is one of the SAS guys. Massive Welsh guy called Taff, funnily enough. He's about 6'4", massive. He's got all the... You've seen the pictures, haven't you? He's got all the black gear on, the black boots, the black overalls. He's got all his gear on. He's got all his weapons on him and all sorts of stuff. And just as we walk in the door, he's just pulled down his balaclava over his face. So he's massive, he's just in the doorway. I walk into the door and think, oh, there's Taff, right? These two police officers walk in, and this is literally what happened. One of them, literally both of them, their legs went. Because they knew, they obviously clicked Special Forces or something. And then the first person they see in any type of uniform is an SAS, full SAS guy with all sorts of kit on. And their legs went, one of them literally staggered backwards. He said, Jesus. He staggered backwards, Jesus, and fell in. Oh, he's obviously blaspheming, not calling out to the Lord, and falls back into a chair. The other one dropped on his knees, literally just fell on his knees because the legs went, because they realized something not very pleasant was about to happen. And Taff sort of pulled up his bell, Clive, and went, all right, mate, you know, it's all casual. Listen, that's just humans. That's just the effect of a human. Imagine what it's like to come before Jesus without having known him in this life. What an awful, what a terrible, what a absolutely dreadful and terrifying event that will be for those people that don't know Jesus, coming before him out of familiar reverence, yes, or bitter regret. And trembling with fear because something awful is definitely about to happen. Well, here's a question. Are you born again? That's a good question, isn't it? Am I born again? And what does it mean to be born again? When I got saved, it was one of those unusual salvations where I was saved in an instant. I'd just been to visit my brother, who was a Christian. He was dying of cancer, and he died a few weeks later. But I was lying in a bed and thinking about him and thinking about my life. And he'd said, you know, to become a Christian, or if you want to go to heaven, you have to ask Jesus to come into your life. So I lifted my hand and asked Jesus to come into my life, and instantly changed. I was a bit of a, I don't know how to describe myself really, angry, violent, stupid person before I got saved. So for Marion, the shock, right? She always describes it as, I went away a cross between Arnold Schwarzenegger and Rambo and came back a cross between Cliff Richard and John the Baptist. So she's utterly shocked, right? I go away to visit my brother and then I come back and I'm like, look at the trees, look at the birds, look at that cat. I like your dress, have a flower. You know, she's like, who the heck are you? Right? She's utterly shocked by the change. My sons are shocked by the change. I think they were 10 and 12 at the time, weren't they? Andy always describes it like, you know, he can't put it into words, you know. It's like, oh, dear me, you know. Suddenly I'd gone from like lunatic dad to like, da-da. hey, how you doing, son? Let's play. You know, you've broken something, doesn't matter. You know, all that kind of stuff. And but I tell you, let me tell you who the most shocked person was. Me. Because I know me. And you know you. Nobody knows you like you do. Nobody knows the darkest secrets of your heart and your mind like you do. And God, obviously. And when that changes, the shock. Oh, I was stunned by myself, you know, into silence mostly. I'd often say to friends, you know, do you think I've changed? They'd go, change, goodness me, you know. Some of my friends were like scared of me a bit, you know. And I remember one guy called Tony, this guy was a nutter. I mean, he was absolutely, if there was something stupid to an extreme, he did it. He was absolutely crazy. I mean, I was a bit scared of him. And he came up to me one day and said, Stu, he said, I used to think you were a bit of a nutter and I was a bit scared of you. And I'm like, what? You know, he said, but he said, you've changed so much. And I'm thinking, oh, no, he was the nutter. I thought, yeah, when God changes you. Well, have you experienced that change? Has it been an instant thing or has it been a gradual process where over years you've made a decision and you've seen yourself changing gradually and coming to faith in Jesus Christ? When I went to Russia with Martin and Chris Alikas a number of years ago, and obviously, you know, Estonia and Russia all looks the same to me, but you know, there's this bit where you sort of cross the border. We drove there, there's this bit where we cross the border where it's all a bit, you're not sure if you've crossed the border yet, you know, but then you come to this point where it's the actual border and they've got the Russian guards who were scaredy like out of a 1960s James Bond movie type people, and we knew we'd crossed the border, but there was a period where you weren't quite sure. And then we were across the border in Russia and we're like, are we in Russia or not? It kind of looks the same as Estonia, you know. But so for some of us it's an instant thing, and for some of us it's gradual. For most people it's a gradual thing. So are you born again is the first question. The second question is, if you are you living your life like that or not? And it's like Stephen's word. It's not focusing at this life. It's focusing on the life to come and bringing that life to come into this life experiences, so that the things that we experience in life don't impact us, don't change us. They knock us a little bit. They disappoint us or shock us or devastate us. But in terms of where we're going, ultimately, that never changes. That always remains constant, that our focus is on him ultimately. This is a real challenge for all of us, because when you've been a Christian a while and, you know, you get back to normality or you're working in an environment that's difficult, like we're working together at the university, it's just so hard. It's just constant, like the sea, you know. Like you said about the waves, it's the waves coming at you is God's love, but there's another wave, isn't there? Which is the world washing over us with all of the filth that it's full of now. Unbelievable. And yet, it shouldn't impact us. It shouldn't impact who we are. Like the scripture Alison was reading from John 6, where it says three times in John 6 and in John 10, all that the Father gives me, no one will snatch them out of my hand, but I will raise them up at the last day. So when you get saved, that's it. Jesus says it. You know, people talk about whether you can lose your salvation or not, but Jesus says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Nothing and no one. Don't fear him who can kill the body. Fear him who has the power to decide whether you go to heaven or hell or not. That's our absolute focus. Shall we stand together? I'm finishing a bit early, I know, but it's a simple message and a short message. And I think Stephen's prophetic word is absolutely right. And also what Tom shared as well. Being born again is the greatest privilege on this earth. Shall we just close our eyes and I'll pray. Lord, we thank you for the awesome privilege of being allowed to be born again, so that our spirit testifies with your spirit that we are children of God. And Lord, we're coming to you. We're coming to heaven. We're on our way to heaven. We're on a bus or a train or a plane, however you want to picture it. And we have a destination. and this bus is not going to stop until it gets to heaven. There's no other detour, there's no other destination. It's heading for one place, and we are headed there. And Lord, we ask you that today, that your word for us today is that this will live in our hearts and in our minds and in our bodies and in our souls. In Jesus' mighty name, that we would live it out in our lives, that we won't be clattered and destroyed by Satan and his ideas. We won't be clattered and destroyed by people around us, and we won't be clattered and destroyed by our souls either, because we're coming to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Your kingdom come, and your will be done in every mind, every heart, every body, every soul, every spirit, and all strength and every life in this room, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're headed for heaven. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to use us. Use us in our weakness. Use us in your strength to tell other people about Jesus. Give us opportunities to tell people about Jesus. Opportunities to witness to people, to tell them that they're loved by God, that they need to be born again, that they must be born again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd also like to give you an opportunity to receive from prayer, to get a proper blast off God. I mean, when was the last time? I mean, we often talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is good and right. That's what Scripture says. But have you ever been blasted by the Holy Spirit? Blasted, where you just think, wow, thank you, Lord. And just touched by God. When we was in Estonia one time, we were, and you can come forward now while I'm talking. In Estonia one time, we were praying in a church for people. It was in a church where they'd experienced a massive revival in the 1970s called the Great Soviet Awakening. It's hardly known about because it happened behind the Iron Curtain. And all the young people coming forward for prayer, everybody sort of under 40, was asking for, I need a job, or I need a husband, or I need a wife, or I need healing, or I need... It was all about circumstances and situations. All the older people that were, honestly, loads of physical ailments many of them had, all the ones that had lived in the revival were saying, can I have more of the Holy Spirit? What do you want? More of the Holy Spirit. It looked like a queue of people that obviously needed physical healing, but they weren't interested in that. They wanted more of the Holy Spirit, more of a blast off the Holy Spirit. So come forward and we'll pray for you. And we'll pray that the Holy Spirit absolutely blasts you. You have to come forward, otherwise I'm going to have to pray for myself. That'll be weird. So come forward and we'll pray for you. Got a check shirt, stand on this side. Only kidding. Why don't we kind of all get together? Why don't we get together and, you know, link arms with the person next to you, or put your hand on the shoulder, or like we're family. Can you imagine that? Like we all know one another. And why don't we do a synchronized, make it into a circle thing? Do you want to come in, Paul? Come in, bring it over. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, come, Holy Spirit. Fill us up, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. And give us a blast of your love. Like opening the door on a winter's day and a blast of freezing air. Holy Spirit of God, come. Blast us today with your love. Burn up all of our sin. Burn up all of our mistakes, all of our failings, all of our past. Jesus' mighty name. Let us be people that run and leap into your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray in tongues for a little bit. Shundo sundare bebeli arabado sumono shandarabama. Sundarabolero. Come, Holy Spirit. Wash over us. Like Tom said, wash over us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
Why don't you just pray for the person on your right to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Just put your hand on their shoulder and pray for them to be filled to bursting with God's love, with the Spirit of God. Now turn and pray for the person on your left, the same thing. Listen, we got a bit of time, so if you need prayer for something, if you want prayer specifically, you know, maybe I spoke to you this morning about, you know, needing to let go of something or repent of something that you just can't stop doing, then we'd love to pray for you. Just stay at the front and we'd love to pray for you. All right. Thank you, Lord.